Good evening, everybody.
Good evening and welcome back.
Yeah, I'm back from vacation. I spent 6 days in the wilderness of Hessel, Michigan, on the shores of Lake Huron.
Did you go to Mackinac Island?
We did not, because we had so many people with us. You know, it was family and, you know, all the kids and everything. It would have been really expensive to go.
Oh, I didn't realize you had a bunch of family with you too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was me, my wife, my two kids, my wife's twin sister and her two kids, their parents. And also, my wife's older sister, who actually has a cabin there, which is kind of the reason we went there. And so it was her and her husband, and their daughter-in-law. So there was a lot of people.
Well, as long as you didn't read any books, you know, bound in human flesh and inked in blood, you know.
Well,
I think you did all right.
Yeah. It was fun though. It was fun. And, it's really quiet. It's maybe a little long, a little long to like spend with everybody. But it was really fun. And I think it was only really long because, my kids and my wife's, sister's kids, you know, they're all, you know, between the ages of 3 to 9, and it's they just like encourage each other to get into trouble, and eventually it's really obnoxious after a little while.
Well, just wait until, you know, the oldest is, you know, maybe 5 or 6 years older, and he will want absolutely nothing to do with the younger ones anymore.
Yep. that'll probably be the case. But yeah, so I'm back, and actually, you know, it's my daughter actually starts first grade tomorrow. So it's kind of neat. It's going to be the start of a new routine, I think. My son starts preschool next week. So, you know, I'm going to have all day, 5 days a week to be able to work on the show and other projects, but also, you know, like it's going to be interesting because they got to be, my daughter's got to be at school. Like, school starts at 7:45. So I'm going to be getting up at like 7 a.m. every day. And I'm getting myself into like a big, like a good routine. You know, I'm gonna be taking the kids 3 or 4 days a week at, you know, at like 7:30, dropping them off. And I'm going to be going to the gym like all those days. And I get home by 9 o'clock in time to like start work. So
that's a good routine. You know, I actually managed to go to bed like around midnight the past two nights, and like
woke up
before eight. I mean, I'm feeling kind of inspired. I guess I can announce that this is actually kind of a total coincidence, the timing, but my last day of work is going to be September 30th. And so I will be full-time MLIG, if you want to call it that.
Yep. And, you know, I mean, I think we'll be freelancing like a little bit here and there, but generally...
Oh, yeah, we'll be freelancing. And I'll be freelancing with my old work too, but it's just, you know, it's, you know, like I've told everyone, as I've said, you know, I'm leaving my job to do MLIG full-time. You know, I've always told people it's not because we're rolling in the big bucks.
Yeah.
Because we certainly are not. But I cannot stand having two commitments of that level anymore. I'm past the point where I can mentally and physically deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And what we're hoping that's going to mean for us, you know, both doing this full time, is that ideally, that will mean, in an ideal world, it will mean 3 to 5 episodes a month.
I mean, that's
what I would like.
Sounds really ambitious, but
you never know.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can expect at least 3 a month going forward, And, you know, I mean, this is something I've been planning since, you know, since probably like April or May, but, like finally having like a commitment on an end date is right. Like definitely got me in a more inspired sort of frame of mind. And like, I really like, I want to come up with, you know, just like you're talking about schedule and routine and stuff like that. And that, I mean, it helps. And I have such a hard time making myself start that and commit to it. But I think sometimes it takes really like drastic life change to sort of reset your way of thinking and get into the way that you need to be.
Right. And, you know, like you said, we have a lot of work to do before it's like, we can try to live comfortably. But I think that we believe very much in what we're doing. So I think yes. that we're going to be working really hard to achieve it.
Yeah. And the more consistent we can be with this, you know, the sooner we will be in a far more comfortable position in terms right. of, you know, the income that comes in through YouTube.
But, yeah,
you know, we're doing, you know, just barely passably well enough to make it work.
Yes, yes, exactly. You know, it's, you know, I mean, I did tell my wife, you know, like I we need to like count on a certain amount. You know, I got to you know, contribute obviously to the family, and you know, like I have fairly normally recurring freelance stuff. But it's it is very much like a feast or famine situation, you know, where I have a lot of stuff and then I have nothing for a little while. So, I mean, we're gonna be doing a lot of stuff, and I think that, you know, you may have noticed certain things like in terms of titling changing on the channel. If you kind of look at older episodes, in a way, it's like we have to like kind of like play the game a little bit. Is a way to explain it. You know, you'll see like the title and then also like maybe like a little bit of a hook to the video title to make people want to check it out.
Well, I mean, in a way that's already what we do on like the, you know, getting the best picture out of your Nintendo 64 exactly. or whatever, you know.
Exactly. But like there's that, and you know, like I think you're going to start to see us like streaming a little bit more like over on the our Twitch like during the day. That won't change like this, like weekly stream here. But I mean, we might be doing some more like maybe midday stuff, like if we're recording something or we're, you know, we just want to play something or wrap something up from the Sunday night stream. So.
And speaking of which, actually, we'll probably stream it here instead of Twitch, but on October 1st, which would be the, you know, my first full, I mean, I'm already kind of full time, but it'll be my only full time, which will be nice. But also, you know, the fifth anniversary of the launch of My Life in Gaming, which launched with a DuckTales remastered video. And so I want to play, just as a celebration of 5 years, I want to play DuckTales remastered on October 1st, maybe probably during the day. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's awesome. I can't believe it's 5 years.
I saw a few people saying that they want to increase their Patreon support these well, endeavors. But thank you so much.
Yeah. Every little bit helps, and it just, you know, I think that, you know, we're very enthusiastic about like how things are going, so we'll hopefully this won't be, we won't get ourselves in trouble. But
well, yeah. Also, you you're fixing here to play possibly the best Sega Genesis game.
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking about it like a couple of days ago. I think I really want to kind of commit to beating this game. And I know that you didn't. I won't beat it in one sitting, obviously.
Oh,
like,
no.
But I feel like it's going to be something that I would like to spend some time with and kind of commit to beating it.
Mm-hmm.
So
there was for me, it was kind of it was hard to get in a groove at all with it. Like there was just kind of like I was just hitting brick walls early on. And then like once I got past a certain point, I think I just got more in the frame of mind for it. And so just
easy is the default, right? Not children.
Oh, is there a children?
There is a children difficulty level.
Easy is default. As far as I know, someone in the chat can correct me if I'm wrong. But as far as I know, I think the only difference is how many lives and continues you get. Which is not, I mean, easy is not that many lives. I mean, I played on easy, though. I forgot there was a lower difficulty. It's up to you.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming that children is still probably pretty tough.
I mean, we'll see how I do on children. If it feels easy, I don't.
It's not going to feel easy, but you know, you want enough of a challenge that the game is going to.
You can't beat the game on children, is someone's saying. So,
okay. So it stops it. It's one of those that stops at a certain point, I guess.
Yeah. See, I've always been a C jump, B attack kind of guy. I do see that the default control is B jump, A attack. I feel like I'm gonna stick with. I'll try it. I'll try.
I thought I had talked you into being a B jump guy.
Maybe.
It makes sense to me. I like B jump because it's in the center, and I feel like that's the button you're going to be using. It's kind of like the big A button on the GameCube controller. It's the home button, you know.
Yeah.
The B button, you know, it's the home button, and then you get quick access. You're not. You're in most games, I would say you're jumping more than you're attacking, but you can also hold A while you jump, you know. I just don't like the idea that I can move two buttons away from my jump. I don't feel comfortable.
So you want to tell the people what you are working on? You know, we have hopefully an episode coming, like, in the next
week. I'm hoping to finish by Friday, so probably look for it Friday or Saturday, because it's my birthday on Thursday, and I was hoping to go to my parents' house for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm I feel like there's not much reason I shouldn't be able to finish by Friday. It's not all that long of a thing, I don't think.
How do you do that spin thing really quick? Really quick. There's a spin thing. Like a move that looked like I was. Like,
or
is that if you like think, bounce off them?
Think it's actually very useful, and I didn't know about for a long time. I think you fully charge and then you release without pressing a direction, if I remember right. Try it.
All right. Yeah, so it's like,
Or do you, like, double tap attack or something?
No, I think it's when you hit him. You spin.
But I think if you fully charge and then just don't hit a D-pad direction, I think you spin, and it's pretty powerful.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's a really strong attack. Oh, yeah, there's a 1-up there. I can't remember if this is a game that respawns 1-ups when you die. But yeah, basically, it's between this and Contra Hardcore for my favorite Genesis game. Did part of your inspiration to play this today come from the GameSack Capcom versus Konami episode?
A little bit, yes.
Ha 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 ha. yeah, the Retro Tink Tink episode is coming along pretty well, I think. I've already shot my part. You shot your part, but I don't have it yet.
Right. I'm going to edit it after the stream.
But yeah, it's I've already got some stuff in place on mine. You know, without spoiling too much about it, you know, honestly, I feel that the retro, you know, people are a lot, I feel like, trying to come up with like alternative uses for it.
Yes.
You know, connecting it with the OSSC and stuff. But I feel it's at its best when it's just used by itself as intended. and that's how I am going to use it, you know. Obviously, you know, I think the big deal is that it can do composite and S-video, which the OSSC can't do, and I think it's probably the best way to capture composite or S-video from a game system. So I think a big market for it is like, you know, N64 fans or, you know, N64 streamers or speedrunners or whatever, you know, because if you don't want to modify a console, you know, that I feel like N64 is maybe the most notable console that is maximum S video without mods.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just trying to get this guy. I had a real hard time reading that script, though. I don't know why. It was
really?
not even long. It's just because I was out of practice.
Yeah, I mean, it's your part is probably, I would guess, maybe 7-ish minutes total.
Yeah, I think it was like a 9-minute. That's the amount that my teleprompting program told me it was going to be.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope it's shorter than that. Well, I don't know. Even still, though, I shouldn't have a lot of difficulty getting it done by Friday. That's my hope.
Can you earn more continues than this?
I don't think so.
How about extra lives?
I mean, you can find them. I don't remember if you can earn them by points, though. But yeah, I mean, you know, playing through this game is a commitment, but you know, it'll take some practice and, you know, persistence. You'll want to pick it back up again, you know, this week while it's still fresh on your mind.
Right.
Oh yeah, there's a one up there too. There's a couple one ups in the first level. But yeah, like I said, I was run into. I wasn't getting past, like, you know, the second or so level for a while. You know, this first big boss that you'll be fighting soon kind of gave me trouble at first as well. But, like, once I got deeper into the game, I was making more consistent progress. You know, it just sort of took getting my head in the right spot.
Is this the boss you're talking about?
Yeah, I had a little trouble with him at first. Like, he just moves very fast. I don't think I knew about the spin attack at first, though. I didn't know about that for a while.
Is there anything I'm supposed to do here?
Just...
Oh, I can
dodge the things? Or do you have to blow up that bomb? I mean, sometimes bosses take more hits than you think they should.
Yeah. It's definitely like a memorization game, right? You just gotta...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, very, very much, you know, Castlevania and Contra style learning difficulty in that regard.
Ugh, I died. But you're actually invincible when you do the spin, too, which is good.
Oh, that's right, that's right. That's right, I forgot about that. Yeah, I mean... You're playing it a whole lot better than I did when I started. So.
Oh, this one up did respawn.
Ah, very nice. So it's like nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
The last boss is pretty nerve-wracking. I will tell you that.
Oh, jeez. How many times did you ever make it to the last boss and then you were stuck for a while?
You know, I can't remember, but it's it'll make your heart pound for sure. It's kind of intense. Like again, it's all memorization.
Yeah,
but, it can be intense. Some of the stuff that happens in the last level is pretty over the top in general.
So you finished Reverie, I saw that. You finished it on the backlogger.
I finished it on the backlogger stream the next day, yep.
So it wasn't too long, really.
No. You know, probably right about five hours. It's like 4.5 dungeons, I guess, kind of.
Whoa. That was so loud.
Sandy brought her toy over. She wanted me to throw it.
What was your overall opinion of it? Did you end up liking it quite a bit?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it was about what I expected, you know. Yeah. For all intents and purposes, a pretty standard Zelda clone.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing super outstanding that it has going for it, but solid all around. You know, I've sort of said before that I have a soft spot for just how brazen a lot of the Zelda clones out there are. Like, they like almost don't do anything of their own at all. It's just total Zelda clone. Like, there's something about how brazen that is that I find charming. I kind of want to do a video sometime, like just looking at a bunch of them, you know?
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of excited about, like, if we're doing this stuff pretty normally, you know, like if we're releasing episodes pretty consistently, I think we can just do like kind of like general like one-offs kind of stuff like that.
I think there's going to be a lot more opportunities for us to just be like, you know, I want to come up with a video that I can make in 1 week. And,
right.
You know, and it'll give us a lot more opportunities, I think, just do some of those game episodes that we've wanted to
do. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I spent a lot of time on my trip working on a script for Phantasy Star 3. And, you know, I kind of decided, you know, like, I looked at my old, like, my Phantasy Star 2 episode. And I said, you know, like, I was clearly trying to, you know, move along through it pretty quick, and I was like, you know, I'm just gonna like let them be whatever length they're gonna be. And if I want to talk about like some of the side things, you know, like I really want to start talking about, you know, kind of the like a deeper look at, you know, like not only just like other ways to play them, play certain games, you know, like I definitely want to look at that kind of stuff. But I also want to like look
you're
at
not gonna worry
like
about
collectibles and
either,
stuff like that. I decided, you know, I will say like, hey, this is a spoiler in the script, and then I'm just going to like move on with it, basically. Just try to.
I mean,
I
basically, I know like the big Phantasy Star 3 spoiler anyway,
right,
which I think is kind of cool. I know it's controversial, but
yeah, it's, you know, it's I think it's pretty cool. Upon replaying it, you know, it was interesting to replay it for the first time in a very long time.
Oh, had you replayed it previously?
No. I mean, I got all the endings when I was a kid, but that was kind of like the last time, and it's very apparent to me now, like just how like rushed it was. You can just tell it was really, really rushed.
Well, you know, I actually just bought it this past week. Because a local game store got a copy in, and I was like, oh, I need to just get that over with. Because, I mean, I've been, you know, on the lookout for a decent price, decent copy. And I was surprised, you know, to realize, I mean, obviously I've seen the box before, but I didn't really think about it. I mean, it's a black grid box.
Yes, it's a smaller grid. When I talk about
it's
like
the smaller grid, yeah. Is like the big grid? Is that like a separate series kind of?
Well, it's just, those are just like the early games, for sure.
Right. Once they started doing the small grid, at that point was it always small grid, or were they doing other types of boxes?
No, it was always small grid at that point.
Okay, so it moved from big grid to small grid.
Right.
And I don't know what kind of span of years, but
I hate stuff like.
But still, Phantasy Star 2 is a big grid box, and
right,
Phantasy Star 3
was
a small grid. So how far apart were they even?
Not very far apart. I mean, the 2 came out in 89, and I mean, it came out in 80. Yeah, it came out 89 in the U.S., 88 in Japan, and 3 came out in 90, like 90, okay. 91, early 91, maybe summer of 91, actually. I remember getting it during the summer. So, you know, it was pretty close together. And then, it, you know,
it's
4 was, like, was
about.
Really far off. 4 was, you know, the reason...
Well, it's kind of obvious just looking at it. It's very different.
Right. And it's, you know, the reason... Have I talked to you about any of this stuff? The reason it, like, looks so different is because everyone who was working on it or worked on 1 and 2 was, like, working on Sonic. On Sonic 1. So they got the people who did the port the Genesis port of Golden Axe did 3. And the guy
that makes sense.
The guy who directed 3 was like an assistant director on the second game, but he was like really the only returning person. They even got like a new, like different person that did the soundtrack.
Huh.
So, I mean, when you think about the look of it, it makes sense that it kind of goes to a medieval thing, to a medieval setting. And, you know, like it's, upon replaying it, you know, I was pretty, it's apparent that like they weren't quite sure what they were trying to do, but I do love the way it kind of connects. But I'll tell you, like, there's one thing, and I'll get into this in my script for 4, because I played through 4 like right afterwards, and it's pretty obvious like that the timeline is really kind of messed up, because even with the time difference, part 4 takes place like before the third one does.
Ah, so 3, they almost write 3 out of it in that sense.
Well, no, I mean, there's like a direct reference to 3 in it, which is cool. But
they couldn't really make something to take place after 3 easily.
Right, but I mean, it changes the. I mean, so 3, it takes like it's 1,000 years after the plot twist happens, and then there's like and the game takes place 1,000 years after like the kind of main story of the plot twist. So it's actually 2,000 years after part 2, but Phantasy Star 4 takes place 1,000 years after part 2. So I can explain it better when I write it down. And I'll get into like the kind of timeline weirdness in the script for 4.
I mean, I'm looking forward to getting to them.
Yeah. I mean, 4, I was like, upon replaying it, I was really impressed because it was a lot better than I remembered it being. And I remember it being really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'd heard people say it's like almost like the Chrono Trigger of the Genesis.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, there are way fewer RPGs to compare it to. But, you know, from what you're saying, it sounds like it does live up to that, pretty close to that standard anyway.
Ugh.
You're doing really good. Like you're getting a lot further than I was in my first couple of runs. I feel like once I got this boss down, I just got in a way better groove with the game. Gotta go get down to get it. She's been really getting into getting up on the couch in the past couple of weeks. Like, that was not something she ever like did on her own very much. Unless she was like super hyped up, then she would like get up on the couch. But now she's just like getting up on the couch to lay down. But the thing is, she's like, she's not as into getting off the couch. I don't know if she's like so afraid to make the big jump or what.
But yeah, I mean, I'm pretty excited to, you know, do those videos about Phantasy Star, and I don't know, like, I just think by having like a pretty normal schedule, like between the two of us, we can take on some of these game episodes. And like I said, I kind of want to tailor our game episodes to be a little bit more towards like what our audience generally likes. When I look at some of our older, you know, like game showcases and stuff, you know, I feel like, oh, you know, I wish I had talked a bit more about like, you know, this side thing. I think about your Mario 3 episode, where you kind of like look at the, like all the materials and stuff. Like, I would like to do that kind of stuff as well in those episodes. So, I mean, we'll see.
Now, does Phantasy Star Online, does that universe connect with the original, or is it total separate thing?
No, it's totally separate.
So 1 through 4 is the complete Phantasy Star
story. Yes.
If they ever made a 5, like, would you be nervous about if they could continue it properly?
Yeah. 100%. 100%. I don't want it to happen. The 4th one, like, basically definitively ends everything. unless you think about what I said about
it. Is it the same team as 1 and 2?
Yes. Except for Yuji Naka. Did not work on it.
Oh, I didn't know Yuji Naka worked.
Oh, yeah. He was like one of the main guys, especially on the first one. Like, he's the one that like made the 3D dungeons and everything work. That's stuff that like I wish I had talked about like in my episode on it, you know. I did it. Hopefully that's the end of the
level.
That spin is pretty. If you're invincible, like that's pretty good.
Yeah, see, it was a while before I even knew the spin existed.
Yeah.
So that explains part of why I had a harder time early on.
See, I died.
Oh, I forgot there was a fourth phase to this boss, or a third phase. I totally forgot about this phase. This boss does go on for a long time. What kind of projects has Riko Kodama done recently? Like, I always think of, you
I think
know,
she worked. Did she work on
Fancy
like
Star and Skies of Arcadia? I don't know what she does lately.
I feel like she worked on like that Seventh Dragon or something like that, but I'm not sure.
Oh, is that like an in-house Sega thing?
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to.
Are those considered good?
I guess they're considered okay. I mean, I think that there's been several of them.
I think, like, only one has come out in the U.S., though, right?
Yes.
I'm always kind of, like, reluctant to get another DS, 3DS game.
Yeah.
It's like, I kind of want to be done with 3DS at a point. I mean, I keep hearing the new WarioWare is, I mean, you know, it's kind of a compilation of stuff. I do hear it's really good. But I wish it was on Switch.
Oh, Leopard is from the chat is from Cleveland.
Ah.
Kind of close, but not, I mean, far enough away, but it's close-ish.
Oh, yeah. Definitely will be RGB 200 on Xbox and Dreamcast. No promises on when, but they will. If I get in a good spot with other episodes in the coming month, I'd like to consider making Wii by the end of the year. We have to have at least one 200 this year.
I know, for real.
They are our bread and butter. But Wii shouldn't be too bad. The only thing about the Wii that annoys me, and maybe we can just borrow one from someone,
Is the
Wii Mini, like, I mean, it's not like unaffordably expensive or anything, but it's like not as dirt cheap as it should be either. Yeah. And like every time I see one, I just like, I cannot bring myself to pay that price for it.
Yeah.
I actually don't hate how it looks. I mean, I don't love how it looks, but I don't hate how it looks. It's weird, but it's an interesting thing, but I mean, I just don't want to pay what it costs. But I mean, I don't know. Part of me feels like I should have just have one anyway.
Hopefully that's the last form. How many times do I have to kill this thing?
I don't remember. I don't even remember three forms as it is. I just remember the two.
Looking good. Yep. How many is there six stages or eight?
I can't remember exactly how many there are.
Oh, this level was in my friend John Lemon's history of water in games.
Ah.
Feel that reflection.
It's a weird effect. It's
oh,
cool,
it's one hit. It kills you with one hit.
Well, I mean, it's lava, ain't it?
It is, yeah. But I mean, I was not expecting that. It's like, that makes it like a million. And they asked for like a leap of faith. Oh man, so it's like. That's clever.
I remember there being a method to this.
Yeah, I mean, there's reflections.
Oh, yeah.
I did it too quick. Jeez. This is where the real Rocket Knight starts.
That doesn't stress me out that bad. There's no fancy acrobatics or anything there, really.
It's clever. Like, that's such a clever way to do it. Oh, and there's a one up there. So they're looking out. They are looking out for you.
Yeah, I don't remember them being quite that generous.
What?
But, this is there's a method to getting through.
You got to jump up. If it gets too close to you.
I can't remember exactly how it goes. No.
Jeez. Oh, is the Monster World episode next? It is not. We are going to try to time it with the release of Monster Boy. I reached out to the people who are publishing Monster Boy, and we are going to be getting a review code so that we can put together like a big Monster World episode, basically like Monster Boy and Monster World. Maybe that's what we should call it, Monster Boy and Monster World.
it can be like in like apostrophe N.
Yeah. That could work.
Sandy was dragging around the back doormat. She's never done that before. She seems to like to occasionally misbehave during M-League streams. I guess she wants me to pay more attention to her.
Oh, someone says, wait. Charging your backpack and not letting go for an extended period of time will cause your backpack to explode, which is why you died, exploded, and knocked you into the lava.
Oh. I don't remember that. I mean, there's really no reason for you to be charging it during this platforming section.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, like, aren't you like that sometimes? You just hold it down, like, just, like, out of...
Yeah, out of habit, certainly, yeah. But I feel like this is not a game to do that in, because you don't always want to just fly all over the place.
That's true.
You know, and if you're holding the button, then you're committed to either flying off somewhere or discharging your spin.
I guess it would be...
Whoa. I don't even know if you necessarily need the rocket to get through some of those tight spots. Looks like not.
Assuming that the spikes probably come in one hit too.
I don't remember why exactly, but I remember the boss of this level seemed very intimidating at first. Like, I just remember thinking, like, oh my gosh, it's too much.
Well, don't scare me or anything.
I mean, you're doing really good. I mean, maybe it's just because you knew about the spin from the beginning, but...
Is this the boss?
You're doing a lot better than I was.
This is just a mini boss, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't see the boss yet, but it definitely is.
It's the crab.
So, who would you vote for, Konami versus Capcom?
Capcom, for sure. Actually, like, I knew that Joe was doing the episode, because he asked me, like, who would you pick? I said, I thought about it. It's a tough question. What about you? I feel like you'd pick Konami.
I feel like I actually probably would, because, like... You know, like, Joe was, like, talking about, like, the impact that Capcom has, he thinks, is bigger. That may be true, but, I mean, I do not have the Street Fighter attachment whatsoever. And, like, you know, I can clearly see, you know, when people really explain it well, like, I feel Joe did a very good job of explaining, like, the impact of... In fact, I think you and him were kind of talking about that when he was helping us out in April.
Yeah.
You know, like, people who weren't there just, like, can't even understand what a big deal it was.
Right, exactly.
And I, you know, I was there. I just didn't pay any attention to it. You know, I'm just not really into fighting games. And so there's, you know, there's that I don't have. I mean, it is a really hard choice, but I do feel like, I mean, you know, I'd have to really break it down, but I do feel like I might lean Konami. I mean, you know, I also, like, really love the Goemon games, which, you know,
it was not mentioned, I guess.
Right, well, because, you know, like, the only 16-bit one that came out was they showed it, but, you know, only one of them came out. Yeah, I mean, and Konami easily wins on music.
Yes. I mean, overall. Although...
I mean, don't get me wrong, Capcom has them. Capcom is not that far behind, but I feel like Konami was just more consistent.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand.
Like, Konami was, like, consistently, like, totally knocking it out of the park.
One more hit and I'm dead.
But, you know, hey, Capcom is still around and Konami basically isn't.
It's true.
You know, I wish I had a dollar for every comment on the Mega Man X Legacy Collection video that had the word lazy in it.
It's true.
And you know, it actually kind of annoys me. I mean, no offense if anyone here made a comment like that, but like the Konami hate, I get the Konami hate. I'm with you. They screwed up. Capcom though, I've never really understood the Capcom hate.
Interesting. This is.
Yeah, this. I just was like very bewildered for a while on this boss. I think you can only hurt him.
Yeah, how do you.
When he's at the side. I don't think you can hurt him like when he's in the middle. I think there's only. I think it's mostly dodging. But then there's like an opportunity to hit him.
Yeah, this is. It's. Interesting.
But it's mostly dodging. But I.
But it's all about like.
There's a point when you can hit him though.
Yes.
And I just forget what that is. Oh, it's the pig. The pig is the boss.
Right. I know, yeah.
So when the pig jumps out, jeez. Otherwise it's just dodging.
There you go. Continue. That's right. Do I get to start at him, or I got to do the whole level over again? Oh, no, that's cool.
Oh, so continues, just put you right there?
Yes.
That's nice of them. I don't remember it being that way. But anyway, yeah, like, you know, part of the whole thing with Capcom and the hate Capcom gets, it's always been a little strange to me. Is like, I had for a very long time, like, considered Mega Man, like, a thing that used to be good. And I enjoy playing my NES Mega Man games and my Super Nintendo Mega Man games. And, you know, the fact that Mega Man wasn't as good on PS2 and other systems, like, you know, it didn't bother me. I would still indulge in a Mega Man game here and there. I like the original Mega Man Zero. But, like, it... Like, the whole thing about Capcom's not doing anything with Mega Man. It'd be better that they just make something than nothing at all. And I'm like, no. Like, there's... Like, if you can't make a good Mega Man game, like, don't bother. If you're not up for the challenge of making a good Mega Man game, then just don't make a Mega Man game. Whatever. That's okay. I don't. My love of Mega Man is largely driven by what's already on the NES. And I really like Mega Man 9.
Did I get him? Did I do it?
But anyway, like, and also in addition to that, like, the whole, like, you know, lazy. You know, the more game developers we've gotten to visit over time, you know, and with these projects that we've been doing, like, it really, I feel like visiting them puts it into perspective. I mean, these are people just trying to do what they can do.
And, like, on sometimes, like, a very limited
budget.
Yes.
Yeah. The time, the budget. The number of people that actually work there, you know, oftentimes their schedule is much tighter than you think it is. And, you know, a publisher or whoever is funding a project is only going to give X amount of dollars. Now you might think, oh, it would be so easy to add XYZ feature, but that costs time and time costs money. And, you know, or people to do it. I mean, it's the majority of the things that people imagine are a flip of a switch and they're just being lazy. I mean, that is not the case. I mean, people are trying to do what they can. And I don't, you know, maybe criticize them for not giving the game the budget that you think it ought to have had. Don't criticize the people in the trenches as being lazy.
Right. I agree. Whoa. Just throwing barrels at me. Love those bananas.
I think you're like chasing the same guy throughout this whole level.
Oh, of course. You can't go off the front.
Oops.
Yep.
The difference between HD Retrovision PS1 and PS2 cable, the PS1 is just an adapter for the Genesis cables.
Right.
And what that is doing is adapting RGB to component. It's designed for PS1. The PS2 component cables are just regular PS2 component cables. They're like official cables, but, you know, official cables are kind of sold more at a premium now. But, you know, for all intents and purposes, the quality is the same. Steve might correct me. He might say it's better. I don't know. I know he spent a lot of time analyzing it. A lot of the cables that were in our PS2 episode were borrowed from Steve. Because I knew he was doing research on PS2 stuff. You know, doing lots of measurements. You know, he even said that, you know, the eye, the monster cables look...
Oh, it's start down here at least. So you only get 2 lives per thing. It's gonna be a quick game over here. Oh, actually, there's a 1-up down there.
But yeah, I mean, so those are just regular PS2 component cables. And they won't work on PS1. The adapter works on PS1. It also works on PS2, technically, but you would need to set your system to RGB, and you couldn't use 480p. Well, no, you wouldn't be able. There's a lot of HD Retrovision in the RetroTink episode because, you know, that's the only way to use an RGB-like connection for, you know, Super Nintendo, Genesis, etc.
Ugh, I hate stuff like this. There it is. Ah, last continue.
Oof. I'm a bit behind, although the button says live. Maybe I should jump back a bit and then click it. See if it brings me up to speed.
At least there's that 1-up.
I was trying to figure out like why I wasn't getting a signal from my HD Retrovision cables on my N64. I was like, what is wrong? Like everything is hooked up correctly. And I'm like, oh, I have my other N64 hooked up. My unmodded one.
Oh.
I swapped it out briefly because I was doing some S video stuff and I was getting a lot of noise. I thought, well, maybe I should try my unmodified system, even though I was pretty sure that S video should be no different on the modded system. But then I changed cables and it was just a cable issue. There was just some rolling noise going through it that I hadn't seen before.
Is this gonna be the boss? See, there's always like a really short level before the boss.
This is so unfortunately the good SNES S video cable I have, SNES N64 GameCube, is monster cable, which, you know, I don't like that design because they're, you know, the death grip.
Death grip. I assume I have to damage him when he opens up his stomach.
Yeah, I don't remember this boss super well. I think it's the last boss of the level, but I can't remember for sure. I definitely remember getting some sort of technique down on it, but I can't remember what that technique was.
I did it. But that's probably. Wow. Oh, but he ran after me and killed me.
Oh. Yeah.
I assume that.
Oh,
they...
no. I think he doesn't take many hits. Or maybe just one. I can't remember for sure.
Yeah. I forgot
about that.
He. Rondo of Blood. Blooded me.
Rondo of Blooded? the final attack.
There it is. Yeah. There it is. That's okay. That's, you know, that's, level four on my first time. I think
that was a good first run. I think. Real good.
Let's do it again. Don't have to watch all the cutscenes again. But I bet, you know, once you kind of get the hang of it, you can probably just, like, blast through, like, these early levels.
I mean, you know. I don't know. But you definitely want to get your one-ups.
Yeah. But now that I, like, you know, I fully understand the spin, I can probably take these guys down decently.
I have to admit, though, it does feel good to have all four Phantasy Star games on my shelf now. but Phantasy Star Force, you know, is still the only
one that you really care
cardboard
about.
The only cardboard box game I have.
Yeah. Well, you almost bought Shining Force 2 recently. That's cardboard box.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Well, I might have done it because I actually had some store credit at Save Point.
Yeah.
I brought in my my non complete edition Horizon.
Oh, right, right. Yeah.
And my my Indiana Jones on Super Nintendo that I streamed.
Yeah, that is one game won't be finished on stream. Maybe I'll have to pick up the slack for you.
Yeah. Ooh, I thought it was kind of rough. That was not a very good game, I didn't think.
That's okay. If we ever need footage of it, I have it.
They still have it, too. Or at least when I was there on Tuesday, they still have it.
Oh, speaking of which, I got to do that announcement video that we're going to be at Retro World Expo.
Oh, yeah.
It's like someday this week. It'll be real quick. I just feel like it's good for us to do that. For those that don't know, we will be at Retro World Expo in Hartford, Connecticut in about 2 weeks, I think it is.
What days are our panels? The convention is Saturday and Sunday.
Yes. We're going to be showing, or we're going to do a masterclass live on Saturday. I think it's at 3:00. And then from 5 to 6, I think we're doing a screening and Q&A for Night Trap, the Night Trap documentary, and doing some Q&A afterwards. And I think that we're going to be able to have a little sizzle reel of like some of the documentary projects that we've been working on that we're gonna premiere and show there.
Shogun Gino, Black Magic capture cards, I would not recommend because they are professional cards and adhere very strictly to professional standards, and they do not like video game systems.
Yes. I mean, they may have gotten a little bit better, but they are...
They're pro cards, first and foremost.
Yes, they need to stay on spec for broadcast, so they will adhere to very strictly to that.
Yeah, I made the mistake of getting one, because I wanted to jump on HDMI capture, pretty early on, when there wasn't, really a lot, if anything, in terms of consumer cards. And
the intensity was the first one I got too.
I wanted it, and to be honest, I can't remember how much I was really able to use it for. They don't like video game systems.
Yes. Or no, rather no. They do not. And it was, it was a big pain in the butt for a long time.
Yeah.
Before we knew anything about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, do you remember what you used your Black Magic for?
To output to monitors to just like see what it looks like. Specifically like I did it with like the How to Beat Volume 1, where I had to send Premiere out to a CRT so I could format it correctly.
Yeah. I can't remember.
And that, I still have it in my system because of that. Because when we do Volume 2, I need to kind of use it for the same deal. I mean, I could just keep everything within title safe, which would serve just the exact same purpose as well. But it's nice to see it like on a CRT and composite when I need to.
Yeah, I can't remember how well it did with, like PS3, if you were using a component cable or the splitter stripper for HDMI.
Oh, I don't know.
I can't remember.
Oh, whoops. I've seen a banana. Is it, I think it's a banana right here. A magic banana.
Oh, I forgot bananas were health and not just points. Once you memorize this boss pretty well, you can... You can take him down pretty fast.
Yeah.
I would for the part where he like drops all the spider things. Like I wouldn't charge my backpack. I would just hit that bomb with just a regular throw thing. But you seem to have it down pretty well doing it that way. So I guess that's fine. This boss is made a lot easier by the spin attack, because you can just let him fall on you.
Yeah. Although I did just get hit. Oh, whoops. Oh, I died, too. I had him, too. I had him.
Well, at least there's a one-up.
That's true. I was getting cocky, though, about it. That is smart that they do that, though. That they, you know, yeah. They put a one up so you can really take the time to learn it.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of eases you into the game a bit more.
Right.
More VHS commercials or related content? I definitely think we want to.
Yeah, I have a whole bunch of VHS commercials that I found on some of my old off-air recordings. The problem is that they are nowhere near as good of quality as the other ones, and that's fine. That's fine. I had like 30 some commercials, but some of them were from like the same period as well.
I didn't record the whole thing, but just as part of the RetroTink episode, I recorded some footage from a Japanese Saturn promo tape, or not Saturn, Dreamcast.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's the one I gave you, right?
Yeah. Have you looked at it at all? Do you have a duplicate of it, or
yes.
Did you just get okay. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some fun stuff in it. My favorite thing is that Sega Bass Fishing is called Get Bass in Japan, and the best thing is there's like this announcer, like, you know, clearly Japanese, but trying very hard to do like a straightforward American accent. Like for all of the game titles. So it's like, you know, the game title comes on, it's like, Get Bass. Except it sounds like a Japanese guy trying to say it. Get Bass.
Looked at the chat and I got hit.
The main reason I recorded it, I was looking at some of the Nintendo Power tapes, and the video quality on them was not as good. The Dreamcast tape was. I was trying to, you know, pull out a video game VHS tape that had some good quality. Unfortunately, the RetroTink does have the same issue as the FrameMeister, where it will, you know, lose sync if the tape hits a spot that's in bad shape. That's actually the main reason I didn't digitize the entire. I was going to digitize the entire Dreamcast tape, but I got a few drops, so I gave up. But for the most part, it was in pretty good shape, so I was able to watch it pretty decently on the RetroTink. But I wouldn't necessarily recommend it as a, you know, like your main VHS solution. Which is a shame, because if it did hold on to the sync better, it actually might be like, you know, one of the best ways to do it. Because I feel like it the look, when it does work, the look is like very authentic.
I'm glad that people like the VHS related content though so much.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember when we started the channel, I think I said something like, you know, I would be okay if we just became like the VHS guys. And that was like, it was like, you know, we were able to be successful just being the VHS guys.
Yeah. Maybe not as much. You know, might not feel that way now.
Yeah, but, you know, we don't get to do VHS stuff a whole ton.
Right.
I actually identified two VCRs in my attempts to record VHS footage. I identified two of my VCRs that basically don't even work.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I've got several, but my VCR situation is not great. I mean, the one that I ended up using is actually quite nice. Yeah, like, I don't know what to do with them. Like, part of me is like, throw them away. You know, you need the space. But part of me is also like, I don't like throwing, even if it doesn't work, I don't like throwing away a limited resource, you know?
Yeah. You can basically, you know, my Goodwill still has tons of them.
Yeah, yeah, they aren't hard to get a hold of, but still, it's like, you know, how will I feel 40 years down the road that I threw away VCRs and, you know, the big topic is VHS preservation. We've got limited time, you know, to save all of the television broadcast commercials of the 80s and 90s. not that any of those VCRs would have been like the prime VCRs to do anything on, but because like there was a clear difference in quality between another VCR that worked and the VCR that I ended up using. So I mean,
you didn't use your like your main one, your real high quality one.
That one's been weird lately.
Uh-oh.
It's like it plays at the wrong speed, and I don't like I'm not seeing any options to change the speed. I don't know what's going on with that. Like, it plays, I can see it, but it's just, it's wrong.
That's not good. Considering the one that I got doesn't work either.
I know. I mean, it's, you know, it's a pro unit. Yeah, I need to investigate a little more, but, like, I mean, there's a bunch of buttons and switches and stuff, and I don't know. I should try some other tapes. I cracked open a fresh, sealed, the world is not enough. Which is like, the world is not enough and tomorrow never dies, like, are in like literally every VHS thrift store section.
Basically, yeah.
Like multiple copies of both of those.
I'm very proud of my sealed VHS copy of RoboCop.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
It must be a later printing though.
Probably, but I mean, you can't like, I could not let that one pass by.
Yeah, but I opened it up because I'm like, this will be a good, like, I didn't record it for anything, but I was just like, this will be a good, like, fresh tape for testing. You know, make sure I'm using the best VCR. What do you guys know about Magnavox DVD VCR players with VHS output? You've got, I don't think it's Magnavox, but
no, I have a Samsung and I have a Toshiba.
Oh, you've got, oh, that's right, you've got two HDMI VCRs.
Right, the Toshiba is one I didn't realize that was going to be, was going to even work the way that it worked. It was just
locked. Oh, you didn't think it was going to output VCR over HDMI.
Right. And the reason I like it is because it doesn't have any like on-screen tracking indicator. So if you look at, I started doing all my recordings with it because a lot of times like the tracking kind of adjusts at the beginning and it shows it right on screen with the Toshiba.
Well, if you ever see another, like I would love,
I have not
to
seen like there. Any like of the specific ones that I have. I haven't seen any in a long time. I did find
were
like,
they
I
more
didn't,
expensive?
No, I randomly found a second one of the Samsung that I have that was actually a little bit cheaper, but that was a long time ago. It was before we were really doing anything with that stuff, and I would have.
Yeah, I really don't like my Goodwill. But I should probably stop in now and then because I would like to get one of those. That would be a pretty good thing to have.
I'm doing kind of good this time. I think the idea is to like kind of get to the level that you're at before with hopefully never using... Oh, but then I do that.
You didn't even get to the one-up, did you?
Nope. I was thinking like, oh my gosh, I'll have 7 lives. That's pretty good.
No, you'll have 6.
Yeah.
But I guess the downside to a HDMI VCR is then you've kind of got less control over, you know, how the image is processed. Like,
oh, I mean, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it could just be the equivalent of a composite cable internally. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you don't have any control over how it's deinterlaced and stuff. You know, in theory, you feel like it should be a high quality thing, but it may not necessarily be.
Right.
I
mean, I think
it seems like yours. It does seem like yours do a good job.
I feel like the Toshiba is better than the Samsung.
Hmm.
And it's actually the one that I kind of prefer to use at this point.
See, I actually really like the idea.
Oh, we got a donation from Blabler. It says, when it comes to boss attacking close with the sword, it's the best way to damage bosses, except for the underwater crab robot. You have to dash into. Spinning is good, but it takes a while to execute.
Mm.
So just like a good regular, tips. Just like spamming the attack is good. Interesting.
I do remember that crab not taking as long as it seemed to take you.
Yeah.
But I do like the idea of doing VHS tapes on the RetroTINK, other than the fact that it loses sync.
Yeah, but if you fed it through
because
the...
Because I like the smooth bob, you know, like... It's the flicker is not super obvious on a VHS tape anyway because it's already so noisy.
Yeah.
Like I feel like it makes a very authentic look and feel for VHS.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen it yet, so I can't really judge it.
I just like the idea of it. I would like to digitize VHSs that way, but it's just not terribly practical because I was losing sync quite a bit.
But yeah, I mean, I haven't actually seen it in action or anything like that, so I had a real I'm excited for the episode just as much as you. It's probably as excited for the episode to be done as you were excited for it to be done. But it probably feels luxurious after.
Oh yeah, 4K. After the 4K episode, it's nothing. It's nothing. I mean, I'm feeling good about it. I'm feeling positive. You know, it's kind of fun getting to do a little more capture and composite than we normally get to do. Yeah. You know, it gives the video a little different texture in places.
I hope that I'm actually hurting this guy.
Yeah, it seems like it just takes a long time.
I mean, it's gotta be close. Yeah, there he goes.
Phew.
As long as I can just get to the next level, and I have like this much health left. I do feel kind of confident in my understanding of this game right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really impressed with how well you have adapted to it. It's definitely inspiring me to play the Genesis and Super Nintendo Sparkstores. I mean, those have been on my backlog for years. I mean, obviously, I mean, as far as I understand, They aren't nearly as good as this, but, you know, I want to play them. I did buy them. They weren't cheap.
Come on, give me some bananas.
Although, I do feel I got a good deal on the Genesis one. Super Nintendo one, I was not happy about that. Probably the guy that I bought it from was not being very nice.
Come on, give me some bananas. There we go. Ooh. Oh, buddy, you are in trouble now. I'm at full health. You don't have to give me any bananas this time. Some beanans. Give me some. There we go.
Some beanans.
That's what we call them in this house. The beanans.
Some beanans. I feel like you've got a lot of words like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like the ex-biggity?
Yeah, the ex-biggity. So kind of a fun thing that my friend Chris and I were doing, he was visiting last Friday, he came here. And we were kind of, my son kind of, you know, as most kids do, have like a, you know, like just like things he's kind of made up. So he's like actually made up like this superhero. He kind of just like comes up with words, and he was just like going on and on about this superhero that he had like made up, and his name is Couchman.
Oh,
Couchman. And he actually, apparently we asked for specifics, and he does actually shoot couches from his fingertips.
Whoa.
And he does have a sidekick, and his sidekick, his name is Basketball. I assume it's just a basketball. And then he said that he does have a sword, so we're like, okay, you know, if he has a sword, his sword's gonna have a name. Mm-hmm. And his sword is named Hammerhead. I don't know. And then randomly
he came up with that, or you came up with that?
No, he came up with us. Like, we just
Hammerhead. The sword is called Hammerhead.
Yeah. So he has a when we first got on vacation, he was like running around like kicking stuff, and he was like yelling something. And I'm like, oh, that must be Couchman's like special move. And he was running around kicking stuff, and he was like, Barbican kick. So, like, apparently, so Couchman's, like, super move is the Barbican kick.
The Barbican kick? What's Barbican?
I don't know. He was just saying it. He has watched a little bit of Power Rangers recently, so maybe it was something that's on there, but I don't know. But if the Barbican kick is actually from something, I don't know. But, you know, good old Couchman.
Couchman will force you to submit to his comfort.
Barbican kick.
You know, that kind of reminds me. I've been looking at the IKEA website lately, trying to get some ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to IKEA.com right now, when it takes you to this like page where there's a picture and it says, you know, take me to IKEA United States, or I want to choose another location. And there's a picture of a room decked out in IKEA furniture, and there's two kids on it there's a girl and a boy, both very young, and they're clearly playing superhero stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like generic made up, you know, superhero stuff.
Yeah.
And like the boy, like, I don't know, like he's not smiling. He's got like, he's staying on top of the couch. He's like poised to do something. I don't know. I think he's kind of sick. Like, this kid haunts me for some reason. I'm like, what is that kid's deal? He's got this like paper mask on his face, and he's just not smiling at all. It's like something about it's just very disturbing. The girl's happy, but the boy is just like up to no good for sure.
Making trouble in the neighborhood.
Yep.
There you go. I'm doing pretty good. I'm having a pretty good run here.
Yeah, leave them seven lives.
Yeah, they should have been eight.
Oh man, could you ever hit the double digits?
Doubtful. Oh, by the way, my brother is coming to visit. Next weekend, so he's gonna be we'll be streaming with him, if that's all right.
Okay.
He'll be joining us for the stream, because he seems to it'll be his third time.
That's right, you played Deadstorm Pirates, and the first time, the second time you played Earth Defense Force.
Yeah,
any ideas for
I don't even know.
Well, you're certainly not a lack of co-op games.
Right. There we go. I'm almost back to where I was at now.
Attack of the Pixels is talking about Drake and the 99 Dragons. That's a name I haven't heard since 2004. Utter garbage game no one played. I do not know what you're talking about, but that reminds me let me bring up the photo so I can remember what this is called. I was in Save Point, my local store. I saw a GameCube game called Zapper, One Wicked Cricket.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, I feel like that being like GameCube era, and this guy, this cricket, has like this wry smile on his face. Yeah. Like, I feel like this is the death knell of the mascot platform. I actually looked it up on YouTube. There was a Nitro Rad video.
Yeah. I want to have him on the stream really bad.
One wicked cricket.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I was going to say, that game has definitely been covered by Nitro Rad or Antdude, for sure.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that.
But I really want to have Nitro Rad on the stream. Ah. Oh, he got me.
What? Oh.
It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, you may as well have infinite lives at this point. Apparently, it's like a Frogger clone, but it seems like kind of more advanced, I guess. Zapper, one wicked cricket. I mean, I kind of want to get it just because it's called Zapper, one wicked cricket. The plot I learned from the Nitro Rad video is that Zapper,
jeez,
is getting bad TV reception.
And
he uses his brother to get better reception as his antenna. And the bird takes his brother, so he has to go rescue his brother. And then I guess in the end of the game, he still hooks up his brother as his TV antenna.
Oh, so you can beat him in one cycle there. How do I get this guy?
Maybe you should try charging or just.
Yeah, I get him.
Regular attacking and dodging.
Is that gonna be it? I think. I get it. If you get to the side of the screen, you can do it. He doesn't hit.
Oh, is it knocks him back?
Yeah. I did it. Try next area. So I did get an extra life, I think, from points. Stage 5 can be tough. Is this the one?
Like, is this the demo? Is this the one flying over the pig city? You know, I think this is either the second to last or third to last level.
It seems like a six-level game, or six-chapter game, because there's so many. Like, the levels are pretty long.
Yeah, I think this is the second to last, because I guess it depends on when you actually. Well, I remember what happens. I just can't remember if there was another level between this and that. Oh, Blade Blower says 7 stages.
Okay.
That makes sense. It makes sense. I'm having a hard time visualizing the second to last, but I figured there had to be something I was forgetting about. Because it just wouldn't... It wouldn't make a lot of sense for this to lead directly into the last level.
I really see the geometry on my PVM right here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's not the right way. Oh, is this a Gradius reference? This boss?
Oh.
You get it? You see it?
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I see it.
I mean, it's got... Oh, he got me. You gotta do the whole level again, or does it go right down to the... Oh, you do have to do the whole thing again. I can appreciate the Gradius reference there. The Pig City. This is like pre-Mother 3.
I need to play that sometime.
You do. I think that you would like it.
I mean, I've been meaning to buy the, you know, the unmodified Japanese cartridge just to motivate me.
Right, so then you could just, and then just like play like a translation at that point.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not exactly sure what method I would use to play GBA translations. I mean, I don't have an EverDrive.
Right.
But, like, I just, you know, I even if I'm going to play a translation, like, I want to own the original cartridge.
Music's pretty good on this level. I feel like he's gonna come back again. No, maybe not. Oh, just the busting through the wall. Oh, and there's a one up right there.
Nice.
That's good because I died immediately. This is one of those games I was always kind of nervous about because I had heard that it was pretty difficult.
Yeah, you're doing like really good. I'm surprised.
Oh, that guy kills you with one hit. Oh, you gotta beat him.
I had a much harder time. Oh yeah, that's right. And you can't do the one up again. Yeah. This feels like almost like a Battletoads type scenario.
Yeah. How do I get him? What the heck? Can I not? I gotta jump on the button, probably.
I guess you walked over it?
I guess so. There we go.
I wonder how you'll do on the boss of this level. Like, I don't think it was hard, but I kind of had a harder time making it work than I felt I should have. You'll see. It's an interesting fight, for sure. It's different.
One thing I gotta consider is that... Oh, come on.
Ah. It's almost annoying that there's so many checkpoints in this part, because you would like to just go back and keep getting that one up.
Yeah. There's a one up right there though, right before I died, so there is a one up here. Except for that one part is pretty tough.
I actually kind of when I initially beat the game, I was kind of like, you know, I should just like beat the game on hard now, because it's probably no more difficult other than the lives, and of course I didn't. But it would have been good to just like get that over with, you know?
Yeah. See it now. I get that. I get what I can do there.
Oh, I see.
You gotta go. You gotta hit against the wall, so it gives you, sends you flying down the next passageway. There we go. Uh oh. It seems like something I'd hate right here. Yeah. Ooh, is that a one up right there? There is a one up right there.
Oh. Good thing you fell.
Yeah. Maybe there's like a one up hidden in each one. Oh, of course, you know, they're like, all right, so you got it figured out. So they're gonna make it a little tougher now. I made the right choice by going this way. I see a one up right up there.
I wonder how you could have got there. Oh well.
Oh. Darn it.
Probably not worth stressing over.
No.
Oh.
It's okay.
I wonder how long Spyro 2 and 3 are compared to the first game. Because the first game was really short.
I bet you there's a ton of people in the chat that can answer that for you.
I bet so. Those were,
oh,
those
come
were,
on.
Those were good for... the first one was good for a quick beat. But yeah, I got those. I was out doing the game store runs on Tuesday.
Oh, you got 2 and 3?
Yeah. Yeah, because you don't come across black labels for those very often.
No.
They both have small cracks in the cases, but my Spyro 1 also does, so.
So it matches.
Yeah. I mean, you just, you know, like Spyro, Crash.
Look at that. You see me get that one up? Watch me get that one up.
Oh, oh, there you got it. Seems kind of tough to get, though. May not be a valid strategy for the long run. But like, I feel like Spyro, Crash, and Tomb Raider. Like those are series on PS1 that's hard to find black label.
Yeah.
Austin says Spyro 3 is kind of long.
Of course, it's like a. All right. It's like a chase sequence for the boss. It looks like. Ooh, is that a one up in here too? There is a one up in here too. Whew. All right. it's nice. They're strategic about it. Oh, get in there. All right, I'm in the machine now.
Oh man.
How do I fight it?
I kind of forget. Like, I can't remember if there's like much technique to it.
Okay, do I get the start in there or do I gotta do it over again? Okay, good, I can get my one up every time.
Oh, nice.
I think I kind of got the pattern too.
Kind of a cool thing.
Indeed. Ah, oh, I got the one up just as I died though. It's okay.
I
missed the one up. Oh, and no. I did. Jeez. You were what?
I was telling Duke last week that every time Duke is on stream, like it jogs my memory to when you had him on stream.
Yeah.
And you played Dragon Quest Swords.
Right.
And I think I was sick. I kind of listened to the stream. And like, it always reminds me that like, I always forget to look for Dragon Quest Swords. Like when I'm at game stores. I actually did then see it when I was out on Tuesday.
And you did you buy it?
I didn't, because it was not in, the case was not in very good shape.
Ah. I did it.
Nice.
Level 6, let's do it.
Let's see if this level rings any bells.
This game has the quintessential Genesis look. I'd agree with that. Oh, she's giving me powers.
Oh, that's right. Okay, this is the part I forgot about.
I said, Jeffrey Gray is talking about the Ninja Turtles game that came out a couple years ago that people didn't really care for. That game is still expensive everywhere. Like, I really want to get it, but it's still really expensive.
Like, are you saying it's gone up in price, or it was just never cheap?
It just has never became cheap.
Like, I mean, surely it didn't release for a lot of money, right? Like, wasn't it like a $30 game?
No, it was, I think it was a full price, or maybe 50.
Really?
Yeah, but it's like, it's generally still like around $50.
Hmm.
Like I was at a Meijer, when I was at Meijer in Hessel, Michigan, it was, they had it for the Xbox, and it was $49.99. I mean, it's hard to say, you know, like places like that, you know, the prices go up.
Yeah.
Or prices like never drop. But those places also have like, you know, it's like sometimes cheaper than it's you'd think.
Now that my memory has been jogged to this level, I remember it being difficult, but you've been surprising me in this game, so we'll see.
Well, this level is just, it's just straight up shooter.
Yeah, but I remember the boss being tough.
Whoa. Did not see that coming.
Oh, that's your rival guy.
Is it? Oh, geez. He took me out. I can appreciate this, like, just like a straight-on shooter level like this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel like Kirby always does that at the end of the line, you know? It's always fun to have a light shooter.
Yeah.
Sort of, you know, since I'm not like a huge shooter guy, it's always fun to get, you know, it's like, oh, I'll just play like one or two shooter levels in Rocket Knight or in Kirby or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Or Super Mario Land.
Oh, yeah, I forget that. How, what a weird thing.
Sub airplane levels?
Yeah.
I mean, you fight the last boss in an airplane.
That's pretty weird. The music's pretty good on this level, too.
Yep, Super Mario Land. I think, you know, I can't really remember for sure, like, back in the day if I liked Land 2 more than Land 1.
Yeah.
But I always thought Land 1 was really hard, like, for a long time. And it's really not. It's really not. I can beat it very easy now. But,
Oh, jeez, here we go with boss. It's not the... I mean, this just gotta be a mini-boss, right? It almost feels like this level would just be this. I'm fighting this airship.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the boss, but it lasts a long time. I'm pretty sure this is it, though. Because I remember being a ship that you flew all around. I'm pretty sure it's the boss, but it goes on and on. But yeah, Mario Land 2, like, I never really loved that game. It's okay.
The graphics are really good on it, what I think is in Mario Land 2. I think it's very impressive looking for the hardware.
But in a way, it's like, it's so close to NES Mario style. Like, part of me wishes it just did its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, you know, it's got, like, Goombas and Koopa Troopas and stuff, but, like, it's also, like, very off-brand, I guess. Which, I mean, you know, Mario Land 1 also is, you know, very off-brand.
If you touch it, you die.
And has Goomba and Koopa Troopa equivalents, but they feel more different in that game. Whereas, like, I don't know, in Super Mario Land. I don't know, and the movement speed is weird.
Ugh, I screwed up. I got caught, like, in the corner. Okay, let's not do that again. Sorry, go ahead.
That game's just always been a little weird to me. Back in the day, I was always more of a Mario Land 3 guy. You know, Wario Land. That game I love. I played it. I played that all the time back in the day. I think I 100%ed that game many times.
Really?
Yeah. Well, when you know where the treasures are, it's not too bad to get everything.
The hitbox in this is pretty... My hitbox is really big sometimes, and sometimes really small.
I don't know if you can sort of predict where you'll need to move.
I'm getting a feel for it. I think if you actually hit physically with the sword, it does a lot more than it does just like the beam or like the...
That's probably true.
So if you just... feeling like if I just maneuver myself... to like actually hit it, I might be able to do pretty good here. Ugh, it's okay. All right, so it's just the back half is blowing up. Now I'm gonna have to obviously fight this little thing here, big skate pod, the front. Oh, it's got legs.
Oh gosh, I forgot about that. It's like it doesn't end, but that's like what Konami and Treasure, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, you think it's over, and it's like they find another way to make it keep going.
Yeah. If I can just like not touch it, I can make it there with pretty high amounts of health, I think. Got legs and it knows how to use them. All right, there we go. I don't really understand what the whole point of that part is. I don't really quite understand what the point of that part is.
What, the teleporting?
Yeah, it's just like...
It's just confusing.
Right. Gotta position myself so it doesn't touch me. So do I just gotta avoid this thing?
The leg thing?
Yeah.
I don't remember the specifics of how you should deal with it.
I can't find any weakness. Oh, I see. Get off me. Come on. Okay. Here's my first continue. It's actually pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I hate how it, like, does that, like,
yeah,
crazy leg thing. Because it, like, it makes it seem like harder to dodge than it actually is.
Yeah.
Labeler says when he freaks... He says when he freaks out, stay at the top left.
Oh.
be a good tip. Teleporting phase is just a little like, why is that there?
Yeah.
Yeah, 3DS remake of Wario Land would have been really good. I actually really like that game. It's actually my second favorite Wario. It was actually quite difficult to get 100% in, but once you knew your way around the game, it was pretty quick. You could get through the whole game in like.
You say so the top left is where I gotta stay.
When he goes crazy.
Yes. Got it.
The Blade Lord says. How it works. Blade Blur's reputation is on the line. I mean, is there any reason to...
Upper left?
Throwing your...
Oh, it worked.
Oh? Whew! Don't look like it should.
It gets close. Is there another form after this?
Surely not. I don't remember one.
Oh! Wait till you see what happened. I mean, it just like he went into he. I was too close, and he immediately went into his frenzy.
Oh, when you hit the core.
Yeah.
Which is annoying that you have to fight the airship every time.
Yeah. If there's a one up here, it'd be worth it.
Yeah. Oh, is the point of the teleporting, it sometimes I think it changes the direction it faces.
Yes.
So I guess that's part of the point, but still kind of dumb.
So you can tell when you're hitting it with a sword, it makes a different sound. Like when you're actually... When you're physically hitting it.
Yeah, that went pretty quick.
This game, it is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's great, right? You see why I say it's like... You know, it's like basically tied with Contra Hardcore for my favorite Genesis game.
That's pretty close right there.
I didn't even see the core.
I don't know how many times I got to do this. I'm going to keep my distance from now on.
I mean, it seems like the odds are in your favor for eventually hitting them.
Yeah. Oop. He blew apart. Is there going to be another form? Is the real question. Nope. Screen fade to white. Whew. All right. Do you remember the last level being super hard?
Not particularly, although there's at least one boss fight I remember very clearly. I don't remember a lot about, well, I remember some of what you have to do.
I see someone scroll up if
plus
you can.
The final boss.
There's someone asking if we emulate the VHS look for the how to beat stuff. And we did it. It's all legit.
Yep. The only, you know, sometimes I'll do fake VHS for an episode, like a regular episode if I want to. But we do like doing it real when we can.
It killed me. I'm going to have to use the continue. That's okay, though. I mean, I know I can make a last level. I think that means that the odds are pretty good.
Yeah, you're doing really good. Like, I can't believe you got to the last level in only two sets of continues. Two starts from the beginning.
This guy is. So is the last level just like a boss? Boss rush?
I feel like I remember a small piece of level.
Wait till you see what happens.
Oh. That's terrible. I mean, this guy I don't think has a lot of life. Isn't that guy supposed to be the Pig King?
People are saying it is a boss rush. It's okay, I'm using my last continue right now. That sucks. I would actually stay up and give it another shot if I didn't have to take my daughter first day of first grade tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I'd like to maybe see if I can stick with not going to bed too late, like I have been the past few nights. I mean, it was kind of out of necessity Friday night because I had to get up early Saturday, but. And I was like, oh, I'm actually really tired at midnight last night. So I'm like, oh, why not encourage a good habit?
Ugh, see, this guy is just. I wonder how many forms there are total.
I mean, this guy doesn't strike me as that hard. I feel like you're just like, kind of like done. I do wish we could see
the final form.
Not well. One of the mid bosses. It's just a cool set piece. But I don't think we're gonna see it.
Ugh. Just throw the swords. Shouldn't be charging. Well, that's it. That's pretty good, though. That's pretty good.
I'm very impressed how far you got. I mean, it's an amazing game, right?
Well, that's what happens when you spend a week away from games in the wilderness. You come back and you're suddenly really good at them. Well, oh, look. No, I was going to say it. Look, it's actually on children's mode. Just kidding.
Was it?
No. No, it was not.
Oh.
It was okay. Not.
Because people were saying that you can't...
You can't...
You can't beat the game like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe this would... maybe there will be an afternoon stream on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Friday of this week. I can wrap it up. You know?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I mean,
awesome.
We could do it on Twitch, but I mean, stuff like that, I almost feel like if we know we're going to be, like, finishing a game from that week, we could almost do it here, but I don't know. I don't know.
I feel like that's still what Twitch is for, you know?
Yes, yeah.
Like, if people really want to watch you finish it up, they can just go to Twitch. But the YouTube is more of the rigorously scheduled, predictable thing.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to make some graphics for that. You know, for the page. If anybody, we might be able to outsource that. If anybody is interested in putting something together for our Twitch page, just like something very simple, you can get in touch with us if you want. You'd be open to that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want anything too elaborate.
But I mean, just like some just icons basic. Saying, like, you know, where people can click to either go to the show. I mean, I've seen some, like, really nice looking.
Like, you're talking, Twitch. Like, all the stuff, like, underneath the window. Like, all the, I don't know much about that stuff and what people do for it.
Yeah, just like a layout for Twitch. I mean, I think it'd be cool. I mean, we'll still use the same, like, if you made something that kind of matches our background there, that'd even be cooler. Maybe some wood grain or PVMs or something like that. We can get you.
We've already got wood grain.
Yeah, stuff. Exactly. So if anybody's interested in doing that, you know, either message us on Twitch or something like, or not on Twitch, on Twitter or something else. But, all right, is that going to do it for this week? Do you have any last-minute things you want to talk about? Any last-minute questions?
No. Nothing I can think of. I want to implement a background that I record just before the stream, and otherwise I'll probably just...
yeah, I can go ahead and
relax until bedtime.
Yeah. If anybody wants to do an artistic rendering of Couchman, I think my son would love it. Maybe either shooting couches and also doing the Barbican kick. I don't know what that is, but it sounds kind of awesome, doesn't it? It sounds like a Street Fighter move.
Yeah.
The Barbican kick. I'm
going to look it up right now.
Barbican kick. I spell it with a C.
Kick. There's a place called Bar Bacon in New York City.
Well, Bar Bacon. Well, maybe we'll have to go there when we're there. Yeah, Shenmue 1 and 2 comes out this week. I'm gonna get the Xbox version because it feels like an Xbox game because it was on the original Xbox. It just feels like the right place.
That's true.
For it.
That's true. It
has a history on that platform.
Yeah, and the Dreamcast button layout matches
right
Xbox. You know, the ABXY.
Yep.
Which I hate, but, you know, so it is.
Yeah. I think it's going to be pretty good. I've heard some good things about this version, so we'll see. Yeah, Shenmue 3 isn't coming for the Xbox, so I'm getting the PS4 version. That's kind of weird. I feel like it will come for the PS or for the Xbox at some point. I don't know, though, but it does make sense to do it the other way around now that I think about it. But, oh, well. All right, everybody. We'll see you soon, and have a great night.
Good night.